In the Queen District of eastern Uganda, local women fit into two camps, circumcised and uncircumcised. The dividing line is not only clinical, but social and demographic. Female circumcision is more commonly known as female genital mutilation, or FGM. Today, 140 million women and girls have been subject to female genital mutilation, mostly in Africa and the Middle East. In recent years, campaigners have made real progress in blocking FGM and discouraging girls from undergoing the procedure. Last December, the United Nations General Assembly unanimously passed a resolution condemning FGM, charging that the traditional practice was irreparable, irreversible abuse on girls and women. In the past, campaigns against female genital mutilation in Africa and the Middle East were hobbled by accusations that the promoters were agents of colonialism, injecting Western secular values into developing nations. Now the momentum has shifted as local FGM activists are taking the lead in the movement for change. Bisphenol A, or BPA, and phthalates are endocrine disruptors, which interfere with the human hormone system and are linked to human diseases such as asthma, obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and breast cancer. Mother Jones magazine reports it can be extremely difficult to avoid exposure to BPA and phthalates because they are put into many plastic products widely used in food processing. Thus far, the Food and Drug Administration has only taken limited steps, such as banning the use of BPA in baby bottles. A research team from the University of Washington's Seattle Children's Research Institute tested two groups of families for BPA and related exposure. The first group ate organic and local food from a catering company that avoided using plastics in preparation of food. The second group was given fact sheets on the best practices to prepare food to reduce exposure to BPA. Surprisingly, the group that ate the organic and local food had high levels of BPA and phthalates, while the levels in the group with the fact sheets remained stable. Lead Seattle researcher Sheila Satyanarayana said the trial revealed that milk from a local farm carried high levels of the chemical because cow's milk from many farms is routinely sent through soft plastic tubes. The study is far from conclusive, but it does point to the role food producers play in unknowingly contaminating the food supply. Since the mass shooting at Newtown, Connecticut's Sandy Hook Elementary School in mid-December, the Obama administration has released $150 million to assist school districts to hire 1,000 on-campus police or counselors. A growing number of state legislatures are now debating how to shift money around to put more cops in schools. According to the Center for Public Integrity, the National Rifle Association is pushing to allow teachers and/or other staff to bring licensed guns into schools to protect students from a potential future attack. At the same time, there's a counter-movement by civil rights activists and youth workers to move police out of school buildings and prevent law enforcement from being involved in school disciplinary issues. Some activists increasingly worry about the growing presence of police officers in schools that has been on the rise since the 1999 Columbine, Colorado mass school shooting. In suburban Atlanta, Chief Juvenile Court Judge Stephen Teske saw school infractions increase from one-third of his caseload in 1999 to over 90% 5 years later. The ACLU recently sued the New York City Police Department for systematically violating students' rights, using excessive force, restraining young people with handcuffs, and arresting youths for minor infractions like drawing on a desk. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Elaine Osowski.